Hello and welcome to the first episode of 3S's very first podcast, The Entertainment Offside. Very interesting choice for a title, don't you think? Well, it's actually more than a simple selection of words. It describes the way we want to tackle this new and exciting format. An offside is an occasion when employees get together and go somewhere away from their office, especially for a meeting or for team building. An offside expresses a more relaxed atmosphere than the one that you can create in an office. And that is why we want to bring you the most interesting insights about the broadcast and media industry in the most relaxing way. So without further ado, I will introduce you to our very first speakers. Stefan, our Chief Technology Officer, and Pierre, our Chief Product Officer, who are going to talk about the rise of smart TVs, but more specifically about benefits and challenges and leveraging smart TVs as an operator, but also about many other interesting aspects of them. So welcome again to the Entertainment Offside, and we hope you enjoy the ride. Welcome, Stefan. Welcome, Pierre, to the Entertainment Offside. Today, we're going to talk about the rise of smart TVs and how they're getting more relevance in the market compared to the past. And, well, how are you today?
Great.
Fantastic.
Are you excited about the questions?
Friday morning, I'm always excited.
So, I wanted to ask you first, how is 3S's history and experience with smart TVs?
Maybe I can start and Pierre can add, because I think actually when I came to 3S, it was one of my first touch points was with smart TVs. So back then, we worked for Maxdome, which used to be the biggest German VOD store until Netflix entered the market a while ago, and Maxdome merged into another product with Joyn. And I can tell you that we have quite a long and complicated history with smart TVs for that reason. Back then, this was, I think about 9 years ago, it was really still a niche market. So we had, on the one hand, we had challenges because it was a lot of different devices and some of them were really slow and bad. They were barely capable of running an application. And on the other hand, I don't have the numbers in my head, but I think back then probably less than half of the people even had their TVs connected. So it was not really a mass market yet, but the people you had there were more like the early adopters, which of course were very critical to the product because they went over the efforts, you know, to connect their TV to the internet, so they wanted a good experience. So this was our starting point, and over the years, we did a lot of different TV solutions for content owners, broadcasters. We work and for companies like Blockbuster in Denmark to bring their VOD store to different TV sets, but also then together with Joyn, TV and VOD solution on all screens, including smart TV. And I think what we saw over the years, and I take it now more from the technical angle, and maybe Pierre has more the product view on that, is there was a while when we felt that like smart TV was losing a bit relevance against up-and-coming competitors like Fire TV, Google Chromecast, etc. And it seemed like a bit like the topic is cooling down, especially also again in Germany, where the smart TVs really had a huge gap in functionality compared to the new solutions on the dongles. And now I think since probably 2 to 3 years, it feels like smart TV is heavily on the rise again, and it's becoming more and more demanded and important in the living room for the people to also have it as a good OTT solution.
Pierre, do you want to add something?
Yeah, I can just only agree to what Stefan said, that there was a time where actually smart TV was not looking so promising. Also from a consumer perspective, not so attractive, simply because the devices were extremely, not performing so well. So they were not really good performant. But still, if you would have bought a new TV, you have had a new remote. And the expectation was that you can now do everything with this remote and not need to plug in another set-top box or a stick to actually get access to additional services. And today, I think we have a new situation. The new smart TVs come with all the major, I would say, premium services in that region, even with direct buttons on the remote, like Netflix, Amazon Prime, Disney Plus, and really specifically already for that region. So you get a lot already directly on the TV when you buy them and connect them to the internet. And I think now it's also in terms of a platform to, yeah, to launch your own service or make your app accessible, a much more attractive platform because you have many more people who are using it and who have the TVs connected these days.
Cool. What could you say are the benefits and challenges of a smart TV platform, but also what service do they offer and how they do they differ from, I don't know, set-top boxes?
And maybe Stefan, you can share the technical challenges more, but I think historically what we saw is that at the beginning there were many different app store solutions. So you had one from Samsung, you had one from LG, you had one from Panasonic, you had one from Sony. And I think it was a lot of complexity just from a product perspective already to understand all of these different app store requirements and platforms, and then to have applications that really work on all these specific devices and you are complying to all the guidelines there. But maybe, Stefan, you can also share how this was back then and maybe how it's now on a technical perspective.
Yeah, I start with now because I think it's still challenging in a way. I think one of the major challenges is if you compare smart TVs to, again, set-top boxes or any other device, is the fragmentation, not only between the different OSs and vendors, but even inside. So, you know, a high-end smart TV from Samsung 2020 is a completely different piece of hardware than a low end from the same year. Yeah. So this means that if you want to create a solution which works well on the, I don't know, 8,000 euro 4K TV, but also on the 500 euro TV, you have a challenge because stuff like animations, complexity of the UX, and also how you implement it. You, on the one hand, you don't want to create five different applications, but if you do try to this one size fits all approach, you come to maybe not the greatest user experience across all of them. Then another thing is with the fragmentation on the service side, which Pierre mentioned, it's the same as with the technology. So you have the, obviously, meanwhile, the Android smart TVs in this world, but you still have the very important players like Samsung and LG, which have their own OSs, which in the end for us as application developers are very much around web-based experiences. So it's all about HTML and JavaScript. But every time slightly different. And it's also slightly different for the older models from 2018 than to the new ones. So there's a lot of different things you need to consider. And last but not least, when we talk about the streaming, which is the core of the smart TV experience, I think if you compare providing a good streaming quality on a smart TV to any other device, it's really much more complicated. One, because you have much less performance available, but two, because over the years, they all the time slightly changed how to implement certain standards like Dash or DRM. So you can't rely on the fact that something works on device one from the vendor and works on the device two in the same way. And there, then you need to see, do you use third-party players to maybe augment the functionality and make it more robust? Do you do changes on the infrastructure as an operator or broadcaster to provide streams in a more fitting format? Do you do client-side adjustments? So this is usually where most of the time is spent in the end, is optimizing the playback experience. And I think that's the biggest challenge on the smart TV still.
Okay, and as a user, how or what should I consider to get a smart TV? Because I think there's different brands, different types. How could I choose one?
That's a good question. I think it depends on the person and the use case of that person. But I think there are great websites that really have a great comparison when it comes to, let's say, more the technical part of the TV, picture quality, energy consumption, of course, price, value, and also the anti-glare effects, how good is the contrast, Do you have Dolby Vision support and so on? So I think this is something you should cover first, that you, when you buy something, you have all the certifications and technical capabilities in place. And then I think when you look more from a consumer perspective, what you do with the TV, it's important that you look at a platform that has the most relevant applications available and is not only attractive right now, but is also growing in the future. So to be more concrete, if you go with a Samsung TV, I think, which I think worldwide is still the most sold smart TV on the planet, you can get basically access to almost every application when it comes to TV and video content. But if you decide for a smart TV, for example, with Android TV, then of course you get the whole Google Play Store with it, which is probably adding more applications around use cases, including gaming, including maybe news and other topics, and driven by a huge development community. So this is something you can take in consideration as well.
And I think also the ecosystem you in any way are maybe, you know, more familiar with, or you have your other devices. I mean, to give you an example from yesterday evening, a struggle I had myself. Yeah, I wanted to watch content on one of the different stores from one of the bigger players in the market. So I browsed on my mobile. I wanted to watch it. And then I realized I can't cast it on my TV, because the TV does not support the casting which my mobile phone is supporting by default. So what I had to do is I had to again find the remote control for my TV. And then I had to search the same content again on the store on TV, started to watch it. I lost the progress. I had to fast forward to the same. So this was 5 minutes lost, you know, when I just wanted to quickly watch something. And maybe, yeah, if you don't want to have that frustration in the evening, you need to see that, you know, the TV or the other devices fit together in a way for getting this additional value out of it.
Yeah, that sounds tricky. And I ask about, as a user, but as an operator, why should I be on smart TV?
I think it's pretty simple. Today, the operator is, not all of them, but they definitely are differentiating themselves to be not just a provider of connectivity or, let's say, broadband. They are, let's say, the provider of the entertainment service as well. So, and then you still, as an operator, have to have your prime experience where you have most of the content and your brand fully embraced, which is usually on your own setup box, no matter if it's a cable, satellite, IPTV or OTT setup box. But here you have full control about what's happening. You integrate seamless third-party apps and services, and you can also do in terms of monetization whatever you want. But you will not ship to all of your customers 5 of these boxes to be on all these devices in the home. Simply, it makes sense that you are everywhere where the user is. So having the possibility to have in your, let's say, living room or in the places where your kids are, the possibility to just watch the same content that you already pay for without requiring additional device is already a big plus for you as an operator. Maybe when you have to sell it, it might be not so easy to get extra money out of it, but it's like an expectation from all the customers if they pay a high monthly price, that you make sure you can use that or watch that content anywhere you are. So this is, I think, one of the major drivers. Be everywhere where the users are. And then, of course, use all the platform-specific advantages, like being already pre-installed when you set up the TV. Having just the possibility in the future also to maybe upsell new users. So even they're not yet customers of your pay TV service, maybe they can just use a different internet provider, but use your TV service on his TV directly.
I think also maybe just to add one more aspect to that is, is one, if you look now at the connectivity rates of the TV sets, nearly every TV is connected meanwhile in the household. So as an and you can counter the fact that your subscribers do have a TV. So you know that you have one device which you can be present already very easily for your consumers. And in the future, with the new standards regarding HBTV 2.0 and OpApp standard, there are also new possibilities for you as an operator to bring also your experience then on the devices of those users. So you could, in the future, brand the TV experience when the user browses content, when they discover TV content, with your own experience. You can make it also easier to have them subscribe to additional services, to upsell them stuff, and just keep them engaged in your world, even if it's a TV they bought in the retail market. I think that helps you also to strengthen then your relationship with the customers.
And one thing to add, because I just forgot it to mention it, we are, for example, working even right now, launching a new smart TV application, which really has a hybrid experience. So it uses actually the tuner of the TV set, and we're able to use the broadcast signal inside of the TV app of the operator, plus then extending the, let's say, content range inside that app with all the VOD, catch-up, and other contents. But the consumer can really consume also the live TV through the existing broadcast inside the TV app. So there's a deeper integration already happening with the TV set and the operator application on that device. We're gonna announce this very soon, but I cannot name it yet today, unfortunately.
Oh, okay, that sounds exciting. Maybe in the next podcast you can already tell the secret.
Sure, it will be in a few weeks from now.
That's nice. And also, again, as an operator, is there a platform that I should focus and especially?
I would say if we talk about the classic smart TVs, so now not dongles or additional devices, I think then the number one in nearly all markets is still Samsung with Samsung Tizen. So this is, I think, if you want to be only on one platform right now, that is maybe the smart TV platform, because you have the highest market share with that. And the good thing is, technically, if you have this covered, it's very easy to expand to LG WebOS. And then, of course, it's a very close tie with the Android smart TV world, where you can cover easily various vendors like Sharp, Sony, Philips with one application. And then we have, at least in the Central European market, still, I think, Fire TV on the sticks as an important platform. But if you talk classic smart TVs, I would say Samsung, LG, Android TV in that order.
Yes, I think this is also what we do right now with our 12 operator partners mainly. Here, I think, is one addition. So usually we work on many of these products already on an Android TV set-top box as a custom launcher. And then what we do is that we use the custom launcher as an application to be distributed on all the Android TV-based smart TVs already. So you cover all Android TV smart TVs. And then, of course, you build a specific Samsung TV application that, like Stefan said, can then easily be used as well on LG WebOS based on HTML and JavaScript technology. And then, of course, we usually extend it also by additional devices, not really smart TVs, but like Fire TV sticks, Apple TV stick, Roku, or even using then the smart TV clients from Samsung LG for extending it to PlayStation, for example, as a game console.
Okay, good. And as the closing question, and to end in a more funny tone, do you guys own a smart TV? And if so, since when? Can you remember?
I think I need to cheat a bit, because naturally, since I have to do quite some testing here, I own two different smart TVs, but one of them is so small that it's not much more than a better PC monitor. And I have to admit that even throughout my time with 3SS, for I think 4 to 5 years, I did not own a smart TV, because I nearly watched everything on PC and laptop. But now, since 1 year, I'm a proud owner of a big smart TV, which is far too big for my flat.
It's always better than the other way around.
Yeah. But it's not connected to cable or satellite. I use it purely internet-based, and I think mostly the OTT apps is what I'm using on there.
So I remember actually when I joined in 2011, that actually 6 months later I bought a very expensive TV back at that time. And it had already an Ethernet cable, so I connected it. But the applications were like so poor that I wasn't really using them because it was so slow and crashing. And it was just so much better just to use an iPad or directly your laptop to do things. And today I think we are using in the living room and a really more like you, Stefan, also bigger smart TV. And I use a lot of the OTT services, but then I have some connected devices like, I will just say it. I have a few operator set-up boxes, Google TV stick, Fire TV stick, Apple TV. But my wife, of course, hates it and mainly uses the Samsung and watches Netflix directly. But sleeping room or bedroom, we have an older TV, and this is just upgraded through a stick. Yeah. So there we just use an HDMI stick to have then everything consumed through a more modern UI also.
Okay, great. Is there something you want to add about the topic?
Maybe then just from my side, I think I personally also, realize that smart TV is so much more important than it was in the past, simply because people have this device in their living room. They buy it, they install it, they have the remote, and they use it also to start and turn off the TV. And if you are there directly, then I think you have a higher chance to be also consumed. And of course, it's much harder to be then the device on HDMI 1 for the customer and be used instead.
Yeah. And maybe also one closing thought from my side is if you as an operator you want to go smart TV and you want to develop an application for smart TV, I think it's important to consider the specifics of those platforms. So use cases where you need to do a lot of input via remote control because you do searches, you maybe manage profiles, you do a lot of interactions. I think these are not use cases which will be really good on the smart TV for the users. It's too cumbersome. It's still a bit too slow. So I think the good smart TV solutions focus really on a easy and fast content discovery, ideally in combination with second screen devices so that you continue to watch where you stopped last. You continue to watch with the next relevant episode or next relevant show so that you have as little navigation need as possible and go as fast as possible to the content. Yeah? And then, of course, that's the other thing. Be aware that if you really want to get the high-end user experience, meaning fast streaming, low buffering, you will need to make sure that also the infrastructure is adjusted to the relevant platforms, because there's a lot of things we or others can try to solve on the client side, but there's a limit. And eventually you need to make sure that you serve the best possible content for the relevant target platforms. And then you can get really a great user experience out of it.
Okay, great. This was a really nice conversation. Thank you both. And I hope you come back to this brand new podcast.
So too, it was nice talking to you guys.
Yeah, thanks a lot. And have a wonderful weekend.
Watch some TV.
You've reached the end of the first episode of the Entertainment Offside. We hope you liked it, and please feel free to subscribe to our different platforms. See you in the next one.